I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me to talk about right now is the editor-in-chief, also beat writer for the PewterReport.com website, Mark Cook. Joining me to talk a little Tampa Bay Buccaneer football. Mark, good to have you on the show. Appreciate you making some time. At what point did this thing start to feel real for people in Tampa Bay?
You know, I think really last week when the free agent tampering period went started, you know, which starts a couple days before official free agency, which kicked off Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So probably about Monday, you know, I don't know that it actually felt real until we got closer to Wednesday, and then once it kind of, you know, the report started coming out via the big national guys that he had chosen Tampa Bay, then it became a waiting game, and it drove fans crazy until it was official on Friday. But, you know, it's something that really we had discussed even going all the way back to January. People can look at PewterReport.com and go to our podcast section. Back on January 9th, we talked about, you know, Brady to the Buccaneers. Now, listen. We thought it was a, you know, 1 in 100 chance maybe that he would end up here in Tampa Bay. But we knew the Buccaneers were unhappy with the play of Jameis Winston, and they were going to look and try and upgrade. And so we started looking at, you know, potential guys that could possibly be, you know, available for the Buccaneers. And Brady was just one of several names, of course. I can't say that with any certainty that we predicted it by any stretch. But it's real. It's unfortunate to a degree because of what's going on in the world right now, I guess. I don't want to say it's knocked the luster off of it. And you mentioned it. It's actually provided a bit of a distraction for people. But anyway, it's you know, there's no press conference scheduled. There's no Tom Brady walking out you know, at Raymond James Stadium wearing the new jerseys the Buccaneers are going to have this year. None of those things. All that stuff is kind of on hold right now, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Mark. We're talking to Mark Cook of PewterReport.com. I've been saying that since the signing earlier this week. And you have to understand, I live in Houston where the DeAndre Hopkins news cycle was burying almost everything for about 2 or 3 days. But even with everything going on in the world, I had felt kind of that same way too, which is like, man, this should be like the equivalent of LeBron James going somewhere. And I'm just not getting that vibe off of it. Like, it's very significant, obviously, but I'm glad you brought that up because you give us a local angle on it. Has it felt sort of that way too? And I think you just alluded to it, but if you can expand on that, just the general feeling of the hype surrounding it in Tampa, has it been a bit more subdued than you think it would normally be?
Well, I mean, just naturally, yes, it has been a little bit more subdued, but if you go on Twitter and you follow any of the Buccaneer fans, I mean, they're just ecstatic and with good reason, because listen, this franchise has not been very good for a long time. I mean, I think it's going on 14 years without a playoff appearance. And, you know, any glimmer of hope for an organization like the Buccaneers, who I believe have the second longest playoff drought behind the Cleveland Browns right now in the NFL, you know, is cause for celebration. Again, we know what all is going on in the world, and that's a real deal, a tough situation for us all to deal with. And we're just hoping there's going to be a football season for Tom Brady to play in. But, you know, yeah, it's subdued to a degree, but Buccaneer fans are super excited. You know, before Brady signed and Brady's name was discussed, I kind of felt like it was a 50-50 split, right? There were still a lot of people that wanted Jameis Winston to be re-signed. And let's face it, the entire nation, if you don't live in New England, has been cheering against this guy essentially for 20 years. Now, he's not a bad guy, but I think we all, you know, we're overloaded with the Tom Brady and what have they been to 9 Super Bowls and he's won 6 of them. I mean, you know, I mean, we all kind of, you know, wanted to see somebody new hold that trophy up. So it was kind of fun to cheer against Tom Brady. And so now Buccaneer fans are trying to figure out, man, how do I go from not liking a guy to all of a sudden celebrating him as the quarterback of the franchise? I will say this, once the news became official, that 50-50 turned into about a 90-10 split. You know what I mean? Buccaneer fans are really happy.
Yeah. And I would imagine Tampa Bay is a place that is all of a sudden, at least for the, you know, the Tom Brady era, is going to be a place where guys are looking to, you know, maybe older players who have made their money are going to look at Tampa Bay as the place to go sign a 1-year deal for $4 million to go chase a ring. How strange will that feel?
That would be kind of strange. The Buccaneers cleared some salary cap space today with tight end Cameron Brate restructuring his deal. They entered free agency with either the fourth or the fifth most cap room. But, you know, when you sign Tom Brady and JPP and Shaq Barrett, the leading sacker from last year, it ate up a big chunk of what they had available. But they've cleared some room, and there's some more opportunities to clear some more room for some of these guys that may want to jump on the train. And, look, Buccaneer fans can't complain about bandwagon, right? They just haven't been good. They can't fill that stadium. There was a few people right away who were like, hey, if you weren't a fan before, you can't be a fan now. And I got on Twitter and said, that's just ludicrous. I mean, do you want to sit with a half-filled stadium? Of course. Listen, if you weren't around in 1976 when the Buccaneers started, isn't all Buccaneer fans essentially bandwagon? I mean, you had to have jumped on the fan train at some point. So I thought that was kind of unfair. But, you know, they're expecting sellouts at Raymond James Stadium, which hasn't happened in a long, long time. I mean, sporadically, I think one of the last sellouts was when Tom Brady came and they played on a Thursday night game a few years ago. There's just not very many sellouts. So that stadium, again, knock on wood, we can play football in September. It's going to be fun again, because I was here in the 2000s and in the 90s when this team was good under Tony Dungy and then eventually John Gruden. And it was an electric place, a tough place to play, and it just hasn't been that way in a long, long time.
We're talking to Mark Cook of PewterReport.com, talking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mark, I made a statement in the open of this show that I did just off the top of my head, and I don't have nearly the historical knowledge of the Bucs as you do, so I'll run my statement by you to see if it passes the smell test. But is this the biggest acquisition that the Bucs have made since Gruden in 2002?
It's bigger than Gruden. I think it's bigger than Gruden. Now, I say that because there wasn't, you know, the social media that we had. What was there, MySpace, maybe, back in 2002?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, AOL chat rooms, people were chatting out the Gruden trade. But, you know, now with Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else there is out there these young people do, it is a huge, huge buzz. But, yeah, it's certainly the biggest since John Gruden. Really, when you go back, you've got, other than that, you have the trade for Darrell Revis. Mm-hmm. I think that was 2012 or 2013, somewhere around there, which was big. But again, we're talking a defensive back as opposed to a quarterback, a guy who's won six Super Bowls. And then other than that, the first-round pick of Jameis Winston. I think that was a big deal in the Tampa Bay area in 2015 because he was the number one overall pick, and there was a lot of speculation. Is it going to be Winston? Is it going to be Mariota? But yeah, there's no question about it. I would venture to say this is the biggest acquisition in franchise history in the 45 years of Buccaneer football.
It makes sense. We're talking to Mark Cook of PewterReport.com. You mentioned Jameis. What do you think happens with Jameis here in the short term and the long term?
You know, I'm a big Jameis Winston fan. People may think I'm crazy, but even as a person, as a beat writer, as getting an opportunity to meet Jameis Winston, to interact with him on a daily basis, to spend time at his football camps, his work with the Special Olympics, his Jameis Winston Dream Forever Foundation, the things that he's done in the Tampa Bay community, getting to know his family on a personal level. I'm a big fan of him as a young man. Now, the transgressions, we can talk about them all day long. Jameis Winston is grown tremendously since the day he walked into that building till now. I mean, he's a father now. He's soon to be married. You know, his life is completely different than when he came out of college at Florida State. So, personally, I'm a big fan of Jameis Winston as the man. As a quarterback, he does every single thing you ask him to do except protect the football.
Yeah.
And, Sean, that's the reason he's not here. That's the only reason he's not here, because nobody works harder. He's first one in, first one out. Everybody's raved about him the entire 5 years. Even going back to his college time at Florida State, I mean, he's a leader. Players gravitate towards him. He has a charisma. He has a presence. And, you know, he obviously has a talented arm. 5,109 yards does not come by accident. Neither does throwing 33 touchdown passes. I mean, that's not an easy accomplishment in the NFL. So, you know, but where he ends up, I don't know. It's amazing. This situation we're in with the health crisis has hurt things, because Jameis Winston needs to be able to go walk into an office of a head coach and a general manager and say, you know, this is who I am as a person. This is what I want to be. This is how I think I can get better. And he can't do that right now. And I think that's hurting him as much as anything, to be honest with you. The 30 interceptions withstanding, that's the big thing. That's the big knock on Jameis Winston. But there have been a lot of quarterbacks in NFL history that – were not nearly as talented as Jameis Winston, had no problem finding jobs. So it is surprising that he hasn't latched on somewhere. I would personally wouldn't mind seeing him go to New Orleans and back up Drew Brees or Taysom Hill or potentially go to Pittsburgh and back up Ben Roethlisberger. I think those are a couple destinations. I'm really surprised that San Diego hasn't reached out. Why not use him and let him go fight with Tyrod Taylor for that starting job? You know, the Chargers do draft somebody at number six. I'm just really shocked about things, to be honest with you, that he hasn't found a job. But I think the COVID-19 situation is kind of hurting him to a degree, in addition, obviously, to the interception problem.
Mark, we got about a minute. What are expectations now in Tampa for the Bucs this year?
You know, playoffs and deep playoffs. Shawnee, you can't make this trade and sign this guy. And the expectations were rising anyway with the play of this offense, which was a top-five offense last year. A defense which, after Week 10, was one of the best defenses in the NFL. Can they sustain that, going out and spending the money to re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul, getting Shaq Barrett back on the franchise tag, a young secondary that's growing? There was a lot of expectations for this football team without Tom Brady, and now that Tom Brady's here, it has to be the playoffs or bust, because if not, there's going to be some people losing their job if this team ends up 5-11 or 6-10 or 7-9 next year. It's not going to be pretty in Tampa Bay, I'm afraid.
Yeah. There's no slow build when your quarterback is 43 years old
right to
start the season. No doubt about that. Mark Cook, PewterReport.com. Mark, really appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. And, man, when the football season gets here, and it'll get here at some point, enjoy it, man. That's really cool for you guys down in Tampa.
Yeah, we're excited. And listen, anytime you guys need us from PewterReport.com, don't hesitate to give us a shout. You guys stay safe and healthy in Houston, okay?
You do the same. Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate that. Mark Cook joining me here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.